But our subject right now is end time living at its best. Tonight I'm going to share with you some Bible principles. And scientists tell us that these Bible principles, I don't know if they recognize them as Bible principles, but they've done studies on people that have followed these principles in the Bible, and they say that they'll live 10 years longer and have a better quality of life than the rest of the population. You mean the Bible really has something to say about good health? Hey, Jesus is interested in every aspect of our lives. And John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he had this to say in his little letter, 3 John, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in how many things? All things. And be in health, just as your soul prospers." God wants nothing but the very best for us, emotionally, mentally, physically, and of course, spiritually. That's why he died on the cross. And that's why we celebrate his death, burial, and of course, the resurrection of Jesus. We're glad that he sacrificed himself to make it happen. Is health a matter of chance or choice? Does it really make a difference how we live our lives? Some people say, hey, it doesn't matter what you do. When your time is up, it's up. Is that exactly true? Notice what the Bible has to say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." For notice what happens when we do this. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So undoubtedly, choices do make a difference, at least to some degree. I know there's always exceptions. You know, on this planet, you never know what's going to happen. God knows all things. But I remember one day, back when I was living in Washington State, beautiful state, I don't know, they got 33 active volcanoes. They believe that Mount Rainier is going to blow one of these days. But I was listening to somebody on YouTube was making a prophecy that they're going to have a great big earthquake out there. I hope that's not true, but I doubt. We'll see what happens. But anyway, I guess it could with all those volcanoes. I used to love to go skiing, and I would go to the ski resort every once in a while on Sunday. It's kind of an expensive sport, and I would get up on the ski lift. And on Sundays, you would have to wait in line. But anyway, I got on a ski chair, and only one other man got on the ski chair, and we were going up the mountain. We got chatting back and forth, talking about the day and how beautiful it was, and I couldn't help but notice that he looked like an older man. I just wondered how old he was. So I was bold. I says, "If you don't mind me asking," I says, "how old are you anyway?" He was 85 years old, and he was skiing. He had been skiing for a half a day. We got to the top of the mountain. They got on the other side, what they call Green Valley, a very deep slope with lots of moguls, little snow hills. He jumped off that ski chair and just danced down those moguls like he was 30 years old. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought to myself, I hope I'm doing that when I'm 85 years old. It was awesome to see him do that. You know, I think life is very precious. I thank God every day I can get up. I mean, I know people all around me. They got achy bones, their backs hurt, and my wife is one of them. She fell on ice when she was a child, and it's gotten worse over the years. But anyway, I'm just so thrilled. My wife, she's a trooper. She never complains. She tries to go hiking with me, doesn't complain, but sometimes she pays for it. Every moment in life is precious. If you get a chance to smile, to lift up people, to give a listening ear, a word of encouragement, by all means, we were sent here on this planet to make a difference in other people's lives, to love people, to encourage them along the way. And so I want to live just as healthy as I can, and not for myself, but for others as well. You know, up here in Kentucky, of course, they love their horse racing. And they'll pay good money for a racehorse. Somewhere's up to $500,000 sometimes. And then there's all the other costs. $60,000 a year in training bills. There's the vet bills. There's training and maintenance. There's the feed. They want to put the best nutrition into that horse. There's the insurance. It can probably go on and on and on. Now, if a racehorse is worth $500,000, how much is your life worth tonight? We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with the infinite blood of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is called the great physician. He is the great restorer, the great healer, the great life giver. And he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But then we got the devil. He is the destroyer. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy, we're told in Scripture. We read about this devil in Revelation 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Why is he called a dragon? Because he likes to destroy. Why is he called a serpent? Because he likes to deceive. He deceives to destroy, the great destroyer. But I thank God for the great healer, the great life restorer, Jesus Christ. The devil, though, likes to mar God's creation. He likes to see him to get into all kinds of bondage, all kinds of sin and addiction. I remember one time pastoring in Knoxville, Iowa, and there was a man that liked to go gambling, but he was really hooked on gambling, and he lost his house, he lost his cars, and he even lost his family and friends because he was so addicted to gambling. And it doesn't matter whether it's alcohol, gambling, the list could go on and on for sure. And it is Satan's mirage. He thinks that somehow maybe smoking is going to make us I don't know why people even start up smoking. I tried it a couple of times when I was young, got sick and threw up. It was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me. But anyway, people start out usually when they're young, and then after they get started, they're hooked, and it is hard sometimes for people to get off smoking. And God, some people want to find happiness in bottles, or maybe they want to find happiness in drugs. It is totally an illusion. It is a mirage. It actually doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to misery. And Satan is trying so hard to make all these things that destroy us little by little to make it look like it's going to make us happy. But God tells us that nothing is going to be able to go into that city that defiles. We read in Revelation 21, verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Many believe today that you can live just any old way you please, and it just doesn't make any difference. And they're still going to go through those gates. But notice what the Bible says here as we continue. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. And so we want to make sure that we're persistently trying to follow God's will, not that it's going to earn us any merit, but because we love Him and He wants nothing but the best for us. He wants us to have happiness. Who's going to go through that city? Those that follow the will of God. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Does God care what I do with my body, this life that He has given me? Yes, He does care. For our own good, He cares, just like we care for our children. The Bible teaches that we are whole persons. God wants to save us completely. physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He cares about the whole package. And something that has always struck me is, what does it mean to live for the honor and for the glory of God? We read in end times in Revelation 14 that those that live on planet Earth are going to be living for the glory of God. It says in Revelation 14, verse 7, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. But my question tonight is about this glory. How in the world do you glorify God? Does it mean just to be kind? Absolutely, we want to be kind. We want to be loving. We want to be compassionate Christians. But what else could it possibly mean to bring glory to God in these last days that we're living in? I think it's interesting what Paul has to say about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. He says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, there's that word, glorify God. How? In your body, it says, and in your spirit, which it are God. So we are to glorify God in everything that we do. We shouldn't treat this body just any old way we please. We've been bought with a price, the scripture says. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, Paul encourages us in Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers. He says here, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That kind of blows me away. I mean, treating our bodies for the glory of God is an act of worship. Apparently so. That's what the scripture says. Now, when we look at life, there are definitely some lifestyle practices which destroy our bodies. For some, it's cigarettes. For some, it's alcohol or drugs or porn or something else. And for me, it was drinking and doping. And I'm so glad God took care of that years and years ago. I've seen people trying to quit smoking before. I've helped people, hundreds of them, to try to quit smoking. And on the third day, it usually reaches an apex where it's like you're a cat on a hot tin roof. I mean, your nerves are stressed out. And I've seen people so craving for nicotine that they'll dig in an old ashtray trying to find a cigarette butt, trying to get a little puff or so just to cut that nicotine craving out. But I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ, who split open the Red Sea, who raised the dead, who rose from the dead Himself, He came down on this planet to set the captive free. He wants to break the bondage of habits, bad habits that we have in our lives. He wants us to live a full and abundant life. Have you ever seen a lung that's been smoking and has cancer and emphysema? Here's a picture of a healthy lung, and here's a picture of a lung that's been smoking for some time and has come down with cancer, emphysema. It always drives me, I feel for these young people when I walk by or I see them in the car smoking their cigarettes. They don't even realize what they're doing. If they would just really take it to heart, you know, there's information all around us. This stuff is going to kill you. But people will stick it in their mouths anyway. It's kind of like the Bible. You know, will we listen to what the Bible has to say? Scientists have proven that it causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. Yeah, I'm going to buy some of that. Doesn't make much sense to me. And Dr. Linus Pauline, who is he? The science journals say he's the 16th most important scientist in history. There's very few people that have won the Nobel Prize, period, but he won it twice. Very few people have done that. He says every cigarette you smoke takes 14 and a half minutes off of your life. The good news is if you quit and you don't go too long, the body can recover in a remarkable way. According to Beckman Research Institute, it is estimated that cigarette smoking kills over 1 million people each year. And people are worried about Ebola or the Zika virus. Where does it say, though, in the Bible that thou shalt not? You won't find a verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke cigarettes, but you will find a verse that says thou shalt not kill. You see, there are principles in the Bible that covers things like LSD and all these drugs and abuse. And it's that little simple principle that God put there for love. Love towards mankind. Thou shalt not kill. This is killing on the installment plan. And they tell me that secondhand smoke is just as bad as firsthand smoke. According to the cancer research out of the United Kingdom, they said smoking is the single biggest cause of cancer in the world. Scientists go on to say that tobacco smoke contains about 70 different cancer-causing substances. Man, that's incredible. Incredible. And why do people start out? I don't know. There may be some other reasons. I think sometimes they think, hey, man, this is cool. Don't I look sharp? I am so sophisticated with this cancer stick hanging out of my mouth, not realizing fully when they're young what it can do to you. You know what? They say that some of our veins are so small that only one little red blood vessel can go through those veins. And so, anyway, they say that when you smoke cigarettes, it shrinks your arteries. They have shown pictures of people that put their hand under an infrared machine, and you could see the whole hand, you could see the fingers and everything, and then they would smoke a cigarette, and they'd stick that hand back into the infrared machine, and it looked like half their fingers were gone. Why? Because nicotine causes the arteries to shrink. There wasn't that blood. There wasn't that heat that was going through enough for the infrared machine to pick it up. Nicotine causes the arteries to shrink. And when arteries get smaller and smaller, clots get caught in the blood vessel, and then a stroke or a heart attack happens. Now, we can't do a thing without the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. But all things are possible through God. If we rely on Him, if we have faith, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you believe that God can conquer something in your life, it's true. If you believe that He can't conquer it in your life, it is true as well. According to your faith, be it unto you. In Revelation, He gives us a promise to him who overcomes. I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, I don't have the power. You don't have the power. We're totally not powerful enough to quit doing some of the things that we're into. The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So we need a power out of ourselves. You know where Paul found his power to endure prison and jail and be persecuted? He found it in Jesus Christ. And what was it about Jesus? He saw what Jesus did for him personally on the cross, his sacrifice. And it says in Corinthians, the love of God constraineth me. And so I think that that's why sometimes people show superhuman strength. I mean, it is impossible for a woman or even a man to lift a car up. But sometimes you hear stories of a child or maybe a parent get stuck underneath a car, the car fell off the jack or whatever, and there's such a love inside that person that the adrenaline kicks in, and with almost super power, they're able to do things that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And I'm telling you, when the love, the fullness of His love comes into your heart, I used to cuss like a sailor, and it was gone just like that. Now, I can't say that it would be that way for everybody, but it was for me. My language cleaned up overnight. It was amazing. And people would tell me how much the Lord had changed me. And he delivered me from the drinking. I mean, I was having blackouts all the time. I didn't remember what was going on the night before. He delivered me from all those things. But the Lord is just our awesome God. He gives us promises throughout the Bible. I love this one. You've all heard it. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I love that verse. The good news tonight that when you stop smoking, you're going to see things improve right away. Your lungs are going to improve. You're going to notice that it is helping. The irritation stops. The inflammation stops. The congestion, it stops. The dripping mucus, it stops. And all that shortness of breath, you'd be surprised. Food, you weren't even able to taste your food. After a week, you say, man, this food actually smells and tastes good. You'll notice a difference right away. I've got a good friend in Washington State. He came to meetings like this, got baptized, but he'd been a heavy smoker all of his life. Anyway, he quit his smoking, but 2 years later, he came down with emphysema. Today, he's just barely able to walk around with an oxygen tank. And by the grace of God, we can be a winner through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today that God, Jesus, is just as powerful now as He was 2,000 years ago. He wants to set the captives free. There's all kinds of problems today. Workaholics that don't take time to be with their family. There's people today that are trapped in lust. There's people trapped in depression. People trapped with the bottle or many other vices. But I'm telling you that the scriptures tell us Jesus is stronger than any enslaving physical habit that we might have. And all we got to do, Jesus says, is ask. Notice in Matthew 7, you want to talk about faith? This is where faith and trust comes in. Ask and it might be given to you. Is that what it says? No, it says ask and it will be given to you. I love the scriptures because they're so certain. Jesus always speaks with such confidence and authority. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, the thing I want to express here, it has to be according to God's will. Just because you want a brand new Mercedes doesn't mean that God's going to get you a brand new Mercedes. But does God want us to quit habits that destroy us? Absolutely. That's according to God's will. In verse 8, it says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him to who knocks, it will be open. I don't care what you're battling with, you can find victory in Jesus Christ. He can change you. He sure changed me, and he's still working on me. Some, it's the bottle. My dad had a problem with drinking, and there's been times where my brothers had to carry him in from the driveway. According to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, that this is how alcohol affects the brain. It interferes with the brain's communication pathways. It affects the way that the brain looks and works. That's why people have slurred speech. Sometimes they hallucinate. It says it disrupts mood and behavior. That's why they come home and beat the kids. And sometimes it's harder to think clearly. And that's why there's so many accidents on the highway. I tell you what, the world would be a whole lot better off if we just didn't even have alcohol. And my brothers my friends were right when I says, I'm stopping doping and I'm stopping hash. And they says, well, then you need to stop drinking alcohol as well, because alcohol's a dope. It's a drug. It's just socially accepted. I says, you're absolutely right. I'm done with it all. According to this National Institute of Alcohol Abuse, this is how it affects the heart. It can cause a stretching, a drooping heart muscle. It can cause an irregular heartbeat. It can cause stroke, high blood pressure. How does it affect the liver? It causes fatty liver. It causes alcoholic hepatitis, fibrosis of the liver. It can cause cause cirrhosis of the liver. What can it do to the pancreas? Alcohol causes the pancreas to produce toxic substances that can eventually lead to pancreatitis, a dangerous inflammation and swelling of the blood vessels in the pancreas that prevent proper digestion. What can it do? It can cause cancer of the mouth, cancer of the esophagus, cancer of the throat, cancer of the liver, cancer of the breast. Yeah, I want some of that. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm so glad that I left it all behind in my early 20s. Scripture condemns alcohol. Here's one of the places it doesn't have a thing good to say about it. Now, there's several places in the Bible where it says wine is good. Did you realize that there's two kinds of wine in the Bible? We're going to be talking about that in a moment. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker. And what kind of drink? Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. I remember getting in a pool hall fight one time. The whole place exploded. It looked like Bonanza. The police were coming and everybody scattered, got out of there in a hurry. My friends, I can relate to what the scripture is talking about here. And 40% of alcohol users will develop serious problems. What kind of problems can they develop? They can lose their jobs. They can lose their families. They can abuse their kids, abuse their wife. They can kill others on the highway. It destroys minds. It destroys bodies. In Proverbs 23, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Keith Knoll. Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. The Bible says, do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. Talking about that yeast action that makes it rot and make you drunk later on when it goes down smoothly. It says, in the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Here it compares alcohol like it biting like a snake, poisons like a viper. Now, who would carry a rattlesnake around? I guess there's some churches that do that in Kentucky, but not this preacher. I think there's a thin line between presumption and faith. But anyway, I'm not going to be carrying a snake around and let it bite me, and I'm not going to carry alcohol around and let it bite me. In Proverbs, it says this, as we continue in verse 29, your eyes will see strange sights, your mind imagine confusing things. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, now wait a minute, the first miracle that Jesus ever did was change water into wine. Yep, that's absolutely true. That was his first miracle. But was it alcoholic wine? They had already drank up all the wine that was at that wedding party. And then Jesus said, bring out 6 jars and fill them to the brim. How big were those jars? It tells us in John chapter 2. It says, nearby stood 6 stone water jars filled to the brim. Well, they left out the word firkin. They were 20 to 30 firkins apiece. In other words, they were 30 gallons in each jar to the max. And so if you had 6 of those, 6 times 30 is 180 gallons of wine. Now, if they had already drank up the first wine that was there, do you tell me this good God of ours that is the great physician, the great healer and restorer, is going to make another 180 gallons of fermented wine that will pollute the brain and mix up your thinking and see confused things? Do you think he's going to do that? Did Jesus create enough fermented wine to get the whole village drunk? Man, 180 gallons of wine, that would make you plastered. Can you imagine somebody going home with somebody else's wife? Can you imagine getting in the chariot and going home and running another chariot off the road? And wine kills brain cells. Now, Keith, come on. There's all kinds of antioxidants in wine. Well, there's antioxidants in Welch's grape juice. And you can drink all that you want and not have the side effects of alcohol. For every truth, there's a counterfeit. And so, my friends, there's a true day to worship. There's a true Trinity. There's a true baptism. And there's a true wine that there's a blessing in it. And then there's a wine that is a curse. It's a poison. It bites like a snake, the scripture says. The Bible talks about fermented wine. And anytime you know it's talking about fermented wine, when it talks about what it does to you, it's always in the negative. And then there's a wine that they call wine that's fresh from the cluster of the grapes. And there's a blessing in it. It's fresh from the vine. We read in Isaiah 65 verse 8, has the new wine is found in the cluster, and no one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. Totally opposite of what we just got through reading in the book of Proverbs. And if you think drunkards that continue to get drunk are going to heaven, notice what Paul has to say. He doesn't want us to be deceived. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 10, it says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will do what? Extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So they will not inherit the kingdom of God. God just wants the best for his children, just like we want the best for our children. And so if we follow God's health plan that is in his holy word, I tell you what, you're going to have more energy than you ever had before. God wants us to live for his honor and glory in these last days. Let's not be like rebellious children. God has given us a plan for good health. Do you know what the original diet was when he made Adam and Eve? It was nuts, grains, fruits, and vegetables. They didn't eat any animals. In fact, they were friends with the animals. The animals didn't eat each other back in the when the Garden of Eden was going on. They weren't tearing into each other. In the beginning, God gave us nuts, fruits, and vegetables. And he says, you may eat these. You may freely eat. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Here is God's prescription for a healthy lifestyle. This was the original diet. And some of our Pentecostal friends, they have realized this. Maybe you've heard of it. The Hallelujah Diet. It's simply just the diet that God gave in the Garden of Eden. The Eden diet was a vegetarian diet. Now, am I saying, oh, you got to be a vegetarian to please God? No, I'm not saying that you have to be a vegetarian to get to heaven. We're saved by eating apples. Absolutely not. All I'm saying is that God loves you. He only wants the very best for you. And if you want to hear it, if you have a heart to hear it, he gives you the best prescription. It's just like my owner's manual. I don't have to follow my owner's manual in my car. If I want to, I can put water in my tank. If I want to, I don't have to change the oil. It probably won't last very long, but you can do whatever you want with it. That's your free choice. According to Henry G. Beeler, M.D., he wrote a book called Food is Your Best Medicine. He said in his book, truly the vegetable kingdom contains our best medicines. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine said, meat eaters have three times the risk of dying from coronary heart disease as vegetarians. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. There's nothing wrong with being a vegetarian. But the best diet in the Bible is a vegetarian diet, and scientists are proving that over and over and over again. According to Dr. Neil Barnard, President, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, every day 4,000 people in the United States suffer a heart attack, many of them fatal. Most of those people could be saved if they followed this simple prescription, a low-fat vegetarian diet. Now, if you really want a good vegetarian diet, here it is. Just kidding. I used to love these Hostess fruit pies. And when I was a bachelor, you know how bachelors are. They just grab whatever they can grab. And I'm going down to the... I used to be a butcher. I used to be a manager of a meat locker plant. And so anyway, I would grab a couple of these cherry pies. And at noontime, we used to render lard. We had a vat that we used to render lard in. And I would grab a wireless basket. Stick those cherry pies in there, and I would just deep fry them. Now, do you know how many fats, grams of fat is in a cherry pie? It's already up there like 25 grams of fat. And then I would deep fry it in that lard. Oh, man, I tell you, it was delicious. But, you know, I wonder what that would have done if I would have kept on drinking and smoking dope and eating the way I did. And like I say, I was a bachelor. I'd get up in the morning and I'd fix me some sausages and I'd put it down on my mayonnaise sandwich. I'd put it down there on that bread. Then I would take some cheese, put that down there on those sausages, pork sausage. And then I would take some bacon. Man, that's really good too. And I put that on that sausages. And I'd put a nice egg on that sausage. And I'd put a cheese on that sandwich. It was to die for. And I probably would have died keeping on like that. Diet, according to Dr. Michael McGinnis, he says diet is the number two killer of Americans today. But the Bible says in the book of Genesis, of these you may freely eat. This is the best possible diet that you can have, is a vegetarian diet. Daniel knew all about this. He was a captive, him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in Babylon. And they were grooming them, getting them prepared to help run the government. And so they were giving them the king's food, rich food. Meat and wine, not the kind of wine that's got a blessing in it either. But Daniel knew better. It says in Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. And so here it says, therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, he says, listen, I've got a better plan. I don't know how he said it, but he did it in a humble way. I don't think he was arrogant or proud. But he says, if you are looking for better results, us to be more healthy, strong, and even wiser, let me have this diet. And so they gave in. They tested him. It says in Daniel 1 verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. None of the delicacies of the king, none of his wine. And after 10 days, they found Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel with just seemed to have a glowing countenance. They seemed brighter in their wisdom and the questions that were asked to them. That's what we read in Daniel 1 verse 20. It says, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. I tell you what, the stories in the book of Daniel, that prophetic book, when you got stories in a prophetic book like Daniel, we are to learn from those stories. Paul says that these stories were written for our learning so that we might have hope. The stories in the book of Daniel are just as prophetic and lessons for us in these end times. Now, the diet, like I said, was a vegetarian diet until the time of Noah. Then they were permitted to eat meat, those that were following God. And so they weren't meant to eat meat or didn't eat meat until that time. I don't know if you realize this or not, but people lived a long time before the flood took place. Adam, it tells us in the Bible, lived 930 years, and almost all of them did. Methuselah, is the oldest man recorded in the Bible, lived almost 1,000 years. That's incredible. But right after the flood, right after they started eating meat, and I'm sure there were other factors as well. What those other factors were, it doesn't really tell us. But anyway, right after the flood, the age dropped dramatically. Noah lived to be 950. His son Shem, boy, what a drop, lived only to be 600 years. Terah, the father of Abram, lived only to be 205. Abraham, he became Abraham, lived to be 175. Nahor, 140. Moses lived to be 120. And when we get down to the time of David, he lived 70, about 70 years for his time was the average lifespan. Now, there are scientists that believe in creation, and they said, well, the world was different back before the flood. The atmosphere was different. The oxygen and things were different. And maybe that's true. I'm sure there were other factors involved, but I think that was very interesting that it drops dramatically once meat is introduced. Don't know if you realize this or not, but some of the animals went in by sevens. How many of you tonight realize that some of the animals went in by sevens? Most of you have heard that. And it's true. You can find it in Genesis. There's a reason why some of these clean animals, he makes a distinction between the unclean and the clean. The clean animals were used for sacrifices. The clean animals were used for eating. There wasn't any vegetation after the flood for a while because it was all destroyed by the flood. They had to eat something, and there had to be something that was more than just two animals, because if you would have ate one of the unclean animals, that would have been an extinct species. This is where it talks about the clean animals in Genesis. It says, you shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, and two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. And so clean animals were used for sacrifices and eating purposes. There is definitely a clear distinction in the Bible between clean animals and unclean animals. And God, he made us, he had to know what's good for our body, the best possible fuel. You can run on cheap gas or you can put in a higher grade. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, split hooves, having the hoof split into parts. So that's one guideline on what animals are the best to eat. Those that have split hooves, but that's a comma, it goes on, and that chews the cud among the animals. Have you ever seen an animal chew the cud? Many times you've seen a cow out there in the pasture, and he's sitting there chewing, like he's chewing gum or something. A cow, a beef, has a complex digestive system. It has four stomachs, and it takes 24 hours for what he eats to eliminate. And because of his complex digestive system, he gets rid of a lot of toxins. Now, there's a lot of animals that have split hooves and chew the cud. Deer, elk, buffalo, sheep, goats. I mean, there's all kinds of animals that you can eat that have split hooves and chew the cud. But here are some that we shouldn't eat according to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 14, it says, nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat such as these. The camel. I'm sorry, you're going to have to get rid of all that camel burger at home. The camel, the hare, that's a rabbit. The rock hyrax, that's like a badger. For they chew the cud, but do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean to you. A camel has a solid hoof, like a horse has a solid hoof. Now, a pig has a split hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud. Also, the swine, that's a pig, is unclean for you because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. I tell you, the pig is one of the most filthy, stinking, dirtiest animal around. It has the quickest, poorest digestive system. It only takes 4 hours for what it eats to eliminate out on the other side. It has many toxins. You know, it doesn't have a complex digestive system like a cow where it gets rid of all those toxins. And a pig will eat just about anything. It is filthy. It is dirty. It will eat and lay in its own excrement. It will eat its young. It will eat rattlesnakes. I mean, there isn't anything probably you can give a pig that it won't eat. Now, you know, some of us grew up, I did, eating squirrel. I don't know if you know this or not, but squirrels are part of the rodent family. Now, if you go over to China in the street market, you can buy rat. You know, all of us would think that would be pretty gross. Would you guys like to come over to my place tonight? I'm going to serve you some rat. That would be pretty gross. But if you grow up eating rat or eating squirrel or eating pig, you don't think a thing about it. You just think it's normal. If you go to Korea or maybe to Vietnam and some of the Asian countries, you'll find in their street markets dogs. How would you like to eat some dog? You go to China, North Korea, you can buy some of this nice wine. It has baby mice floating in it. Oh boy, that would be a real treat. Jesus doesn't give us, you know, he doesn't give us this instruction because he's trying to be a killjoy, trying to take away your happiness. He gives us these instructions because he created us and he knows what's best for our systems. In Psalms 84, verse 11, I believe the Bible, it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so God is just wanting to give us this instruction so that we'll have the best quality of life that we can on earth. Pork is the highest cholesterol source of all meats. It has the highest fat content of all meats. And you need to make sure you fry it up good because you don't want to get trichinosis. You've got the trichina larvae. People used to really not cook their pork very well, and they would come down with it, and it would mask the symptoms of arthritis and other things. It's like a little round worm that goes through your intestines. Now, there's three different kinds of diets in the Bible. There's the diet of Eden. It is the best diet. Fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables. And then there's another diet. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about eating clean food. The Bible says that's acceptable. But then there is another diet in the Bible, and it says to stay away from these certain foods, that they won't do you any good. If you want the best performance for your body, the vegetarian diet is the best one to go by. It's hard to believe that I used to be a butcher and eat raw meat right off the chopping block, but I did. But notice what's going to happen, and I don't recommend that. I had a meat inspector that fell into a blood pit where the drained blood drained into, and he had a scratch on his leg, caught some cow disease. He was only 42 years old, died. And Isaiah 66, those that keep on persisting, eating unclean food, the swine and mice, what's going to happen to them in the day of the Lord? It tells us in Isaiah 66, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. So, you know, that's what the Word of God says. On the day of the Lord, they shall be consumed. Those that know better and persist in doing what they know is not right. You are what you eat. And like they say in the computer world, input determines output. You want to be strong as an ox? Then eat what the ox eats and don't eat the ox. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 9, it says, these you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins and scales. And I tell you, there's a lot of fish in our fresh waters and in our oceans that have fins and scales. But it says that you shouldn't eat things that don't have fins and scales. It says, whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat it. It is unclean to you. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people that like lobster. My wife and I, we used to love shrimp. I mean, shrimp is delicious. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but cockroaches are in the same family as the lobster and the shrimp. They're crustaceans. How would you like to come over to my place tonight and we'll eat some cockroaches? I've got one or two of them crawling around my motel. Maybe we can... I only stay in the finest motels. Shellfish, according to Prevention Magazine, shellfish are dirty and dangerous. Well, what kind of fish should we eat? Fins and scales, that's the rule. And whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat it. It is unclean to you. The catfish is the hog of the pond. Buzzards, you wouldn't want to sit down and eat a buzzard. Typically, anything that cleans up roadkill or cleans up stuff in the oceans and ponds, it's scavengers, and we're to leave it alone. Well, what about Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10? He had a vision about all these unclean foods, and he was told that he could kill and eat it. What was that all about then? Well, he did have a vision. Three times he has a vision of unclean foods that are let down in a sheet. And then he hears a voice in his vision, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And this really disturbs Peter because he just can't understand it. He's never ate anything unclean in his life. And he's sitting there pondering what this means. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And God tells him, answer that door and doubt nothing. And Peter learns a big lesson. He learns what God is trying to tell him. Here's how it's recorded in the book of Acts. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." He hears that knock on the door, and there's men at the door from the house of Cornelius. And they're Gentiles. They're wanting to know about God. They're wanting to know about salvation. But if you know anything about the Jews, anybody that wasn't a Jew was unclean. Anybody that was not a Jew was a dog. That was their mindset back then. And so here, God was trying to teach him a lesson. In Acts chapter 10, it tells us, he tells Peter, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And then Peter testified after he had visited with these people, "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And again, he repeats himself in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts man from every nation who fear him and do what is right." It had nothing to do with eating clean or unclean animals. It was about looking at people, looking down on people, considering them unclean, considering them dogs. And Peter was shown plainly that he shouldn't look at others that way. It had nothing to do whether you should or should not eat unclean meat. I tell you what, the government has done studies, National Geographic has done studies on Seventh-day Adventists. There's these blue zones all over the world where some people live to be 100 years old or longer, and they're fairly healthy for 100 years old. National Geographic talked about the secrets of living longer. And they talked about the Seventh-day Adventists. They said in their studies that Seventh-day Adventists live 10 years longer than other Americans. There are people like Ellsworth Wareham out in California. He's 100 years old, went to Home Depot, bought him some lumber, and put up his own fence. He's a surgeon, and at 100 years old, he still performs 20 heart surgeries a month. And then there's Ed Rawlings. He's 106 years old. He still rides his horse and water skis on the weekend. I hope to do that if the Lord doesn't come, but I believe he's coming and coming soon. There's Marge Jetton. She's 104 years old. She still lifts weights, still drives her 1994 Cadillac Seville, and volunteers for seven different organizations at 104 years old. In the studies called the Blue Zones, the average woman in society in America lives 80 years old. But in the Blue Zones, they live 89. The average man in America, I think they upped it to almost 78 now, and they probably upped this one, but they live to be 87, nearly 90 years old. Now, the government and the National Cancer Institute, National Institutes of Health, and there's other people involved, you can Google this, Adventist Mortality Study. For 30 years, they followed Adventists closely, those that were vegetarians. Not all Adventists are vegetarians. There's people that eat meat, and the Bible doesn't condemn that. There's nothing wrong. If you want to eat meat, Jesus ate fish. He ate lamb. He ate clean meat. Specifically, comparing death rates of Adventists to other Californians. The death rate from all cancers was 60% lower for Adventist men and 76% lower for Adventist women. Lung cancer was 21% lower. Colorectal cancer was 62% lower. Breast cancer was 85% lower. Coronary heart disease was 66% lower for Adventist men and 98% lower for Adventist women. Bill Clinton, after his quadruple bypass, he decided to clean up his eating and he went vegan. That means he doesn't eat any dairy products. He just eats nuts, grains, fruits, and vegetables. And there's recipes that you can make that you'd be shocked. I remember the first time that I was invited to a vegetarian home, and I didn't know what in the world the stuff was. It kind of looked like meatloaf, and it tasted good. I says, "What is this, I wonder?" They says, "This is cottage cheese loaf." Cottage cheese loaf? Unbelievable. And then I says, "What is this?" Because it looked like pork chops or something. And they said, "Oh, that's gluten steaks." Gluten? What is gluten? What are you talking about? It was all foreign language to me. But it tasted delicious. I went out to my car and my wife said to me, "Now, what did you really think?" I says, "It was good, but I'll never become a vegetarian." And then about 9 months later, I became one because I started reading articles in Reader's Digest that they had done studies on Seventh-day Adventists. I tell you what, God tells us all these things not to take away our joy. He wants us to live full lives here in this world and the world to come. I was shocked here a few years ago when a famous preacher in the United States had the same convictions and shared it with his congregation. I'm going to run this clip for you, and you can watch it. It's only just a few minutes.
And then let's talk a moment about pork, ham, bacon, pepperoni. These are some of the things that the Scripture tells us we should not eat. The ushers have already locked the doors. And of course, this has to do with anything that comes from a pig, a hog, a swine. And I know some of you love pork chops. You love ham and cheese sandwiches. I grew up on all that. I love bacon. But for our health's sake, we have to be willing to make some changes. God knows what's best for us. And back in the Bible days, the pig was considered unclean. It was never considered a source of food. And one of the main reasons why was the pig will eat anything. A pig eats waste and garbage. This is kind of gross, but a pig will eat its own dead child. A pig will eat other sick and infected animals. They're scavengers. And what's interesting is the pig has one of the quickest and poorest digestive systems of any animal. It takes only 4 hours, and that's not good. Because the digestive system is so quick and so poor, many times the toxins from the food are not properly eliminated, and they are stored in the pig's fat. That means that pig can eat all kinds of filth and garbage. It can eat other infection. 4 hours later, it's sent to the slaughter and butchered. In a few days, it's on your plate at home. You're having ribs. The problem is the toxins were never properly eliminated from the pig. On the other hand, the animals that God says are okay for us to eat, like cow, lamb, deer, buffalo, these animals eat fresh, clean vegetation. Their digestive system is much more sophisticated. In fact, a cow basically has 3 stomachs. And that fresh, clean vegetation is processed through a digestive system that takes 24 hours. Think about it. 24 hours versus 4 hours. Would you rather eat an animal that eats waste and filth, or an animal that eats fresh, clean vegetation? An animal that poorly processes the food and stores the toxins in its fat, or an animal that properly eliminates the toxin from his body? I don't know about you, but I don't want to take a chance of putting that kind of junk in my body. And as I said, I love bacon, but a few years ago, we switched over and started eating turkey bacon. I can't tell the difference now. I love pizza, but I don't eat pepperoni anymore. I made changes not only for my health's sake, I made changes to honor God. And I believe that if I'll do what I can to take care of myself, God will do what I can. Something else the Bible tells us we should stay away from is any kind of shellfish. Shrimp, crabs, clams, oysters, lobsters. Again, would y'all quit being so rebellious today? I'm ruining all y'all's lunch. These are animals that are scavengers. Do you know they live at the bottom of the water and they eat waste? They eat the excrement of other animals. And I love fried shrimp, but when I think about what that shrimp eats for dinner, just not that appetizing anymore. We should be eating more fresh fish, fresh salmon. Grilled fish is some of the best things for us. At our home, we tend to eat a lot of chicken.
You know, sometimes it shouldn't be this way, but you get somebody that everybody knows who's got a 25,000-member congregation. Oh, this must be true then. Joel Osteen said it. But the Bible said it, and we need to learn just to accept the Bible for what it says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will do what? Destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God just wants us to have life, to have it more abundantly. Don't have to be a vegetarian. I'm just saying that was the original diet. The Bible doesn't say anything about you got to be a vegetarian. But God does want us to live healthy and have a fuller life. He's the great physician. He's the great healer, the great restorer. And he came to set the captive free. Do you want to have all the fullness of life that Jesus offers tonight? Do you want to learn more about how you can glorify him and honor him? Do you want to put him number one in your life? Do you tonight? Do you want to put him number one in your life? Let's stand as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much and you care about us so much that you go into all these details so that we can not wear out so quickly and that we can have a better quality of life. Many people, even if they live to be 90 years old, their quality of life is not that good. And you just want us to live the best that we can. And also genetics plays a part in it too. Sometimes you can do all the right things and it doesn't matter because you just don't have a strong constitution. But Lord, I know that if we follow you, that it will all be better than it would have been otherwise. So thank you for your instruction. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that you love us enough to share with us what's good for us. In Jesus' name, amen.